We're continuing in Likutei Halachos, Orach Chaim, Chelek Gimel, Hilchos Shabbos, Halacha Hey, Paragraph Zayin, Haklal. Rav Nosson says to sum up everything we've said, Sheikur Hu Emunas Chachomim. The main thing is for a person to have real emuna in rabbis, in tzaddikim, in chachomim. Lahamin ulehiskarev letzaddikim sheheim heim hachachomim amitim. For a Jew to want to come close to the tzaddikim, the real Ovdei Hashem, who are the true chachomim. It's not a person who has 64 master's degrees and doctorates. The true chachomim are the tzaddikim amitim. Ki chol chochmosom lachshoy val tachlisam, because their whole sechel there is geared towards thinking about the real future, thinking about olam haba, thinking about eternity. Lahachlif ha'olam ha'iver bo'olam kayim lonetzach, to be willing to trade in this passing world for the permanent world, this passing temporary world, the physical pleasures of this temporary life, to trade it in for eternity. Sherak ze nikra chochma. That's the real sechel. That's the only thing that's really called chochma. Ukamay shekosuv, as the pasuk says in Mishlei, hein yiras Hashem hi chochma. The true chochma is Yiras Hashem. And this is so, so important, what we're learning now in Yiddishkeit. You should know that recently, when I say recently, the past 2-3 years, whenever I've seen Reb Michal give a bracha, Reb Michal is my rabbi, he should be healthy and well, Bishunrit and Svansik, whenever at a bar mitzvah, or at a wedding, or any kind, or somebody approaching him for a bracha, usually his most serious bracha is when he'll say to the bar mitzvah boy, or to whoever it is, you should be zeicha to be a yirei shamayim, and if you'll be a yirei shamayim, then you'll also be a talmud chacham, and if you'll be a yirei shamayim and a talmud chacham, then obviously that'll lead you on a track, you'll be a breslev chassid. But he'll always say it in that sequence with that understanding that the ikar chachma is yirei shamayim. Ukamay Shapir Shurazal, as the Gemara says, Hein Loshoin Achas, based on a certain posuk, this posuk Hein Loshoin Achas, She'ein Shum Chochma Rak Liyiro Es Hashem Velifroish Mizeh Olam Lagamri, that all other wisdoms, all other types of knowledge are insignificant compared to the knowledge of respecting Hashem and being able to withdraw from this world completely, to be able to unplug oneself from the culture, you know, the gashmiistika culture and all the attractions of this world and all the shtuyot and all the different things that swallow a person up and serve as diversions from a person thinking of their real tachlis, of their real eternity. And if not every single person is able to do this to perfection, al kol ponim roi loy levate lasatzmoi neged elu hachachomim ha'amitiyim shema tzadikim amitiyim ulahamin bohem uliskarav aleim bemes b'shvil ha'tachlis. Then at least the person should see to it to humble himself and nullify himself to the true chachomim, which are the true tzadikim, and to believe in them and to come close to them for the sake of eternity. And the person will definitely be zeche to a happy ending through these tzaddikim. This is the true wisdom, this realization, this awareness, and a person being zeche to train himself to do this, this is the real chachmah. Whereas all other wisdoms are insignificant compared to this, relative to this. Since the other chachmas are mostly for the sake of the physical world, which is something that's here today, gone tomorrow. ki kol chokhmos chitzonis hamechakrim shenisu lemokim shenisu hakol hu rak machmas taivos rois umidos rois shelolam hazeh. Because the wisdoms of the scientists and people, the philosopher, those types of people who have strayed, you know, from serving Hashem, their wisdoms are based on taiva, are very often based on taivos rois and midos rois, as we said before. What drives them to research and to study is the fact that the guy wants to have a big fancy office and he wants to have 50 people waiting online for him, bowing down to him, kissing his toes, and having to wait 6 weeks for an appointment to see him. And when he does get to see them, he shouldn't have to even look them in the face. He should be able to look into his books. He doesn't even give them the courtesy of looking at them, saying welcome or hello, saying a decent hello, because he's way, way up there. He made it. He studied in university for 12 years, and he has 64 degrees, and he's a super specialist, and therefore everybody has to bow down to him. You know, that Rahman al-Islam, that kind of thing. Or a fancy lawyer, all the different examples, you know, of people where what drove those people in many cases to excel was Taiva Solam Hazeh. It wasn't that they were really out to serve mankind, to serve Hashem, or to serve human beings, to see what they could do to help people, to make people's lives better. Unfortunately, again, the people who are not serious about Avodas Hashem, by them, in most cases, the motivations that drove them to excel and to bring forth, even to excel, you know, in the chokhmas of the world, were these taivos rois and midos rois. Ki kulam maleim taivos umidos rois. Because unfortunately, all of them are full of bad desires and bad character. V'chol chachomeim horishonim v'achroinim kulam hayu meshukoim moid v'chol ataivois v'amidois. And all of their predecessors in previous generations were of the same type, where they were into taivos rois and midos rois. B'niyuf, many of them were committed adultery. U'momoin, they were into amassing big bucks. V'kovoi, they were into honor, looking for personal self-respect, self-glorification, va'achiloshtia, and again they wanted to be wealthy so that they could go into the most expensive restaurant they could travel the world and know that they ate in French restaurant, Italian restaurants, you know, all the v'nitzochin, and also so that they could always come out on top. They could always, you know, win an argument. In other words, that if they ever engaged anybody in a debate of any sort, they would always be the one who's right, just based on their credentials and based on their stuff. You know, this midas hanitzochin, the kintur, or to be able to show other people up. Ki yodua leboki bohem. Rav Nosson Zal writes, as is known to anybody who really understands and knows these types of people. Umishom bo kol chachmosam, and that's the place from where their knowledge is coming from. The isa besifrei kodesh, and it's written in the holy sforim, shegam ma shemechakrim bechachmosam umoidim b'hashoras hanefesh, gam ze machmas taivos. That even those philosophers, or those, you know, who have studied, when have drawn conclusions that there is a concept of a spirit, you know, a soul, that kind of concept. By them, their coming to that conclusion is not coming from a place of emes, as we started today with truth, but rather it's coming from a place of taivos. Because, again, they want to be able to live with a hope that even after they die, there is a concept of a life after, you know, that it's not that they get put in the ground, the worms eat them up, and they disappear, they're gone. Even they want to live with some kind, you know, in order for them to be able to enjoy life freely, it serves their purpose, it serves that purpose also, to believe in a concept of an afterlife. Kedei she'yerav lehem taivoseyem bozeh olam, for them to fully enjoy the physical pleasures of this world, you know, without living with insecurities and fear of the future. Al kein oimrim, sha'idei chakiro yischachmosam yatzlicho aidei zegam lo netzach. Therefore, they say, they profess that through their studies, you know, through their research and everything, it'll help them succeed even in eternity. Kiyim lav, because if they were not to take this attitude, ra lo hem moed, then their life would be terrible. Ma shebein hayom lemochar yiplu pegorim esim, the fact that they know that whether it's today or tomorrow or a couple of days, couple of years, they're going to drop dead. And what are they going to do then? What happens to the plaques? What happens to the fancy office then? And the plaques and all the honor, all of the shtuyot of Olam Hazeh. Therefore, there are those of them that believe in a concept of an neshama, a concept of an afterlife. And they say, they profess that the success of the soul is based on how much knowledge a person acquires, you know, while they're physically living. But again, by them, their whole psychology is coming from a place of taivos rois and midos rois. Sheroitzim lamalom kreisim b'chol ha-taivos. They're looking to enjoy life in this world to its fullest. V'shiyeh lahem shem godol, and for them to become famous, v'kovoid bein hamalochem, and to be known among, you know, in throughout the world, in governments, v'ideze yatzlichu gam achar nisosam, and they say that'll bring them success even in the afterlife. Avul be'emes ikar hatzlocha sanefesh lachar niso, hu kefima shepirei shodom esatzmoi mitai v'soilom hazeh, whereas the real success of a person after they pass away, it's only relative to the degree that the person has risen to the level of being able to unplug themselves from the taivas of Olam Hazeh and the midos rois of Olam Hazeh, and be zoche to study Torah, be involved in Torah, live a spiritual type of life, a life of Torah and tefillah, ma'asim tovim, and trying to minimize their physical pleasures. Al kein ikar hatachlis hatoy v'hanitzchi yizku hatzadikim hagdolim. Therefore, the only ones who will really be zoche to complete success in the afterlife are the true, the great tzadikim. Sheheim hachachomim huamitim. They're the real smart people. Shehischakmu bechochmu amitius, whereby they advance themselves in the true wisdom. Upirshu esatzma mitai v'soilom hazeh legamri, and they were zeichet to unplug themselves completely from the physical pleasures of this world. Meaning, even when they're eating a fancy steak, they're not thinking in terms of the physical pleasure. They're always thinking of Hashem, that this should give me the energy to serve Hashem better. And again, if steaks are put down on the table, they're not going to make sure to grab the fattest one first, because again, why should I have the one that tastes 97% good if I can have the one that tastes 99% good? Let somebody else eat the one that's less juicy or the one that's too done, you know, that kind of thing. Person who conducts himself, you know, as a spiritual person, as a person who's emphasizing the ruchnius in his life. V'shar hoylam yelehem chelek toiv loylam haba kol echod kefima shezocho lehiskarev aleim ulahamin bom v'leilach bedarkeim. That's as far as the true tzaddikim. They're the ones who are going to have the greatest success in Olam Haba. And as far as the rest of us, our Olam Haba is dependent on the degree that we're zeche to come close to those true tzaddikim and to believe in them and to follow their path on our level, to try on our level to emulate them. V'alkein be'emes omer azal, and this is why the Gemara says, she'hamevaze talmid chacham hu apikoiris she'ein lo Olam Haba, that a person who shows disrespect to a talmid chacham is classified as apikoiris, who loses his Olam Haba, he forfeits his entire eternity. This is the Gemara in Sanhedrin in Perek Chelik. Because the entire Olam Haba is dependent on the respect for the Talmidei Chachamim. That's the point that Rav Nosson Zal is making here, that a Jew needs to know that it, that those Jews who don't believe in tzaddikim, who don't believe in a kesher to a tzaddik, that kind of thing, they can do thousands of mitzvahs, and they'll get credit for it. They'll definitely get credit, but they're missing a foundation. The most important piece of the puzzle, it's to a degree, it's a car, a beautiful car, or an airplane, a phantom jet, that's made up of 1.5 million pieces, parts, components. But it's missing the engine, or it's missing the rotor, you know. So again, let's say the engine, because again, there will be credit, but they're missing the most important piece to the puzzle, which is this emunas tzaddikim and this hiskarvus and hiskashrus to the tzaddikim amitiyim, because they're the ones who really understand life the best. And because we are not on their level whatsoever, because we are plugged in thousands of different ways to the Olam HaGashmi, our Yetzirah can play so many different tricks on us, despite our learning hundreds of pages of Gemara, and despite our doing hundreds of mitzvahs, or thousands of mitzvahs. It's still a very serious battle against the Yetzirah. And it's only the great, great tzaddikim who have won this battle in a big, big way, to the degree that we're zecher to come close to them and believe in them and become mekusha to them, b'emes, to that degree they can show us and guide us how to weave, you know, through all the ins and outs of this world, and how to be really successful in life, mitzvah. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to undertake explaining a Gemara. This is actually one of the most fantastic items in the 4,000 pages of Likutei Halachos. V'ze pirish ho'agodo ha'apliya ma'oid be'inyin ha'sovei de've'atuna. Using what we've learned now, we're going to explain one of the most awesome, one of the most difficult stories in the Gemara regarding the 70 wise men of Athens. Asher kol odom yishtoimim oleho, where anybody who learns that Gemara is blown away by it. Like, it's so hard to understand, it's so incomprehensible, it's so strange. Ukvar pirish atmorzal bedarkei hasagoysav agvoyim v'amukos moed roiv hamamorim kekulam. And Rabbeinu Zal, Rabbi Nachman in Likutei Moran, has already explained with his incredible deep thoughts the majority of the discussions between these 70 wise men of Athens and Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, who was the tzaddik, one of the leading rabbis of the generation, who was sent to engage them in a debate. Rak beiz mamorim lo yizochinu l'shmoya mimenu. However, there were two sessions of the debate between them Rabbeinu Zal did not address in Likutei Moran. Shehem gavra d'oiziv v'recha d'tvira. These are the two debates which Rabbeinu Zal did not discuss in Likutei Moran. Gam hasipur shekoidem sheloisein, eich diber hakesar im Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, vasipur shacharkach, eich heviyem l'sfinosoi, b'chol ze loizochinu shigalo lanu horemozim shabem. And also, the story of how this came about, how the Roman emperor engaged Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya and ordered him to go debate with these 70 wise men of Athens, and how Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya succeeded in capturing them and bringing them back to his ship. This Rabbeinu Zal did not explain in Likutei Moran. Ukvar shomati mipiv hakodosh, however, I heard from Rabbeinu Zal, shoyim izgagea legalois gamal ze, that he had wanted very much to discuss this, he had wanted to explain this, ach lo yolso biyodeinu bavanesen orabim. However, we were not privileged to have him give us a shiur, you know, to explain these items. Ki gam ma shezochinu lishmoy mipiv hakodosh lo yhoyinu kedai. And because even what we were zeichet to have Rabbeinu Zal explain to us, we weren't even deserving of it whatsoever. So whatever we didn't get to hear, obviously it was our loss, it was our unworthiness, that we weren't privileged to receive more Torah from him. Rak shechemlas Hashem v'chazdei agodol govraleinu, it was only Hashem's kindness whereby Hashem, you know, was so good to us, Lishmoya Kolma Shishamanu, Bezros Ertoilo, Ishtabach Menetzach, that we were privileged to hear what we did get to hear from Rabbeinu Zal through Hashem's wondrous help. Ato Heir Hashem Eslavovi, now Hashem has inspired my heart, Rav Nosson Zal says, Upokach Haseinai, and Hashem has opened up my eyes, Limtsoi Bohem Dvorim Sheltam, to discover beautiful things in this whole story, Bechazdei HaGodol Asparach, with Hashem's one infinite kindness. V'zeh L'shoin HaGemara. First, Rav Nosson Zal is going to quote the Gemara, which appears in Masechta Bechoyrois, Daf Ches. The Gemara says there, Omar Lei Kesar L'Rabbi Shua Ben Hananya. The emperor said to Rabbi Shua Ben Hananya, Rabbi Shua Ben Hananya was called in the Gemara Chakima de Yehudoin, the wisest of all the Jews. He's the one whom the Gemara says that when he was born, even when he was from when he was an infant, his mother would bring the carriage to the Beis Medrash and sit there with him with the carriage in the Beis Medrash, so that his ears, when he was first starting, you know, when he was a few days old, as soon as he was able to leave the house, so that his ears should hear the Torah discussions that were taking place in the Beis Medrash. That was one of the things that went into making him unique among all the Chachmei HaGemara. So the emperor said to him, Nochosh lekama me'eber omoylet. You rabbis are so smart. Let's see if you know anything about the world. Can you tell me what is the period of pregnancy of a snake? How long is a snake pregnant before it gives birth? Omar le, Rabbi Shua ben Hananya answered him, L'shiva shnin, 7 years. So the emperor said, what are you talking about? The wise men of Athens did experiments on mating snakes, and they observed that a snake gives birth after 3 years. Rabbi Shua ben Hananya said, no problem. Hanhu me'uboran havu me'kora arba shnin. They forgot to check. The snakes that they were testing with were already 4 years pregnant. So the emperor said, what are you talking about? V'hameshem shishimushi. They observed that the snakes were willing to mate. And we know that usually these types of animals, from the moment they become pregnant, there's no mating. Rabbi Yishuv ben Hananya said, no problem. Inhu nami meshamshi kodom. Snakes are different from other species of animals regarding this nekuda, that in regarding this particular item, they're similar to human beings who even mate during the time that the female is pregnant. So the emperor said, what are you talking about? Who are you arguing with, Rabbi Yeshua? These are wise people. These are geniuses. These are scientists. These are the academics of the world. Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya said, sorry, buddy. Anan hakimin minayhu. We are smarter than them. We know more than they do. So the Roman emperor said to him, I chakimas, if you're so bright, zil zuchinhu va'aisinuli. I challenge you to go and engage them in debate and defeat them. Let's see if you could defeat them in a debate and bring them back to me. I challenge you to bring them back here. Omar Lei, so Rabbi Shua ben Hananya said, fine. Kama havu, how many are they? This congress of Sava Devei Atuna, these wise men of Athens, how many are they? So he said to him, Shishim Gavri, there's 60 of them. Omar Lei, so Rabbi Shua ben Hananya said to him, fine. Ovedli Svinto, this Shishim Bati, I want you to prepare for me a ship that has 60 cabins. V'chol beiso shodibo shishim bistirki. In each cabin, I want 60 chairs. Ovidle, so the Roman emperor, the emperor prepared this for him. He had this built. Kimoto lehosom, when Rabbi Shua ben Hananya arrived in Athens, ol lebeit habcha, he went into a butcher shop. Ashkechei lehahu gavra deko ovid chiyusa. And he saw that the butcher was processing meat. He was slicing up an animal. Omar Lei, so Rabbi Shimon Hanya said to him, Islach Lizvine, do you have meat to sell? Omar Lei in, butcher said, sure. Omar Lei Reisha Bekama, how much do you charge for the head? Omar Lei Bepalga de Zuza, Yohiv Lei, I'll sell it to you for half a zuz. L'soifov Omar Lei, so the butcher started preparing the head. So the Rabbi Shua said to him, Havloch Reishach. No, I meant your head. Yoav Lei Chad Reisha Dechiyusa. So the butcher gave him a head of an animal. Omar Lei, so Rabbi Shua and Hanya said to him, Ano Reisha Dechiyusa Amraloch? Ano Reishach Amraloch? Did I ask for the head of an animal? I asked for your head. Omar Lei, so he saw that the butcher was getting nervous. Butchers aren't usually people that have tremendous patience. So he saw the butcher was losing patience with him. Omar Lei, so he said to him, all right, listen, I was just kidding. Ibois da'ashbekoch, if you want me to leave you alone to allow you to continue doing your business, sagi achveli pischo de be'atuna, I want you to come with me and show me the entrance to the special place where these Sovei de Beatuna are in session. Because Rabbi Shua ben Hanya had been told that these guys are in a fortress which has security where nobody in the world can get in there. Nobody can get in there that they don't want. Omar Lei, so the butcher said to him, Mistafina, I'm afraid. The kol demachvilahu, because anyone who reveals where they're located, Katlalei, they kill him, they have him put to death. Omar Lei, so Rabbi Shua ben Hanya said to him, Dori kruchye de kanya, take a bundle of bamboo-like or reeds, you know, take a bundle of sticks, and walk with it. V'chimotis lohasam, and when you arrive at the place, at the location where their building is, where the entrance to their building is, zakvei, put it down. Put down your bundle, you know, on the floor for a minute. Keman de komitpach, like a person who's standing to rest for a minute. Like a person who's carrying something for a while and his fingers are hurting him. So he puts it down for a minute to rest. And that'll be a signal for me. I'll know that that's the entrance. And nobody will know that you showed it to me. The Gemara says, Ozal, Rabbi Yishuv ben Hanya went, Ashkach darbanoi migavoi, v'darbanoi mibavroi. He saw that they had security guards inside the compound and outside the compound. The I chozi kara da'ili, whereby they followed one of the things that Israeli security here, those who travel up north especially in Israel. I remember Rabbi Rosenfeld, Zichron Lebruch, my father-in-law, showing me this about 25 years ago when I first came to Israel, that the Israeli border patrol, the way they patrol the borders is that they have sand. They have an area where there's sand laid out so that if anybody stepped through there, they have these Druze members of the Druze nation who have the sharpest eyes you could imagine. And they go by there in a jeep, and if they see any footsteps in the sand, that notifies them instantly that somebody's been through there. You know, they call the helicopters and everything, you know, to search, seek and destroy, you know, the terrorists who crossed the border from Syria at the time, from Jordan, you know, from those places. That trick comes from the Gemara. The Gemara says they lay out sand over there, and if they see any footsteps going into the complex, if they see footsteps going in, the guards outside the complex get killed. Udenafka, if they see any footsteps going out of the complex, if they see anybody leaving the complex, katli lehu legavoi, they kill the inner guards. In other words, this was like a complex where whoever made it there couldn't leave. They had to stay in that compound. That's where they lived. Lahavdal, like an ambassador who comes to a different country, and they have their residence and everything within this big, big compound. So Rabbi Shimon Hanya played an interesting trick. Afchele sandalei, he waited for a moment when they weren't looking, and he put his shoes, he laid out his shoes outside the compound, in the sand, in the area where the sand was outside the compound. He took off his shoes and he pressed them on the sand, but he pointed them outside. He pointed them to show as if somebody had left the compound. Katli lehu legavoi. So sure enough, a couple hours later, when they went to check the security and they found this, they had the guards inside put to death. Aprila sandale. Then a short while later, he looked for a moment when the guards weren't looking. He made footsteps going the other way, going inside the compound. Katlinu lekulu. So they killed the other set of guards. So that day there were no guards. They had to replace the guards. And in that moment, when the guards, when this was all in confusion, he got inside. Ozal, he went, Ashkach Yenuki Mele'el V'Sove Mitatoi. And he saw that the place where they were sitting, there was a balcony and there was a downstairs. And the younger wise men were upstairs, were on top, and the older people were downstairs. Omar, he realized, he said to himself, If I greet the ones that are downstairs first, the older people, then the younger wise men who are sitting in the balcony will have me put to death. Because they'll say, this idiot, he didn't even know that we're the more respectable ones here, because we're up on top. Whereas the other ones are on the lower floor. If I greet the ones on the upper balcony first, before I greet the ones downstairs, katalihani, then the guys downstairs will kill me, savri ananat fininun, because they'll say, this idiot, he didn't even know that we're the more important ones here, danan kshishi, because we are older, v'inudardiki, and they're youths. Omar luhu, so he immediately shot out a greeting to both of them, and he said, shlomo luhu, greetings to all of you. Because he didn't look at the guys downstairs, he immediately zapped both of them by saying, my greetings to both of you. Amrile, they said to him, Maya Vidatech, who are you? What do you do? Omaluhu, he said to them, Chakimot Yehudoyano, I am the wise man of the Jewish people. Ano asoy lemigmar chochma minaychu. And I've come to study knowledge from you. Amrile, they said to him, so we'd like to make a request of you, they said. Omar Luhu, he said to them, Lechayai, I swear that I'll give you the request. If you defeat me in a debate, kol debi suavidile, anything you ask me to do, I'll do. But if I win the debate, you'll come and join me for a meal on my ship, on my yacht. Ad kan l'shoin ha-gemora. These are the words of the Gemara. And now Rav Nosson Zal is going to start explaining what this is all about. Rav Nosson Zal says, Ki ha-kesar sho'al Rav Yishua ben Chananya. The emperor asked Rabbi Yishua ben Chananya, Nochosh lekamo me'ebar o'moilid. How long is the pregnancy period of a snake before it gives birth? Rav Nosson Zal explains, Nochosh hainu chochmois chitzoinius. The snake represents the wisdoms that are called chochmois chitzoinius, those wisdoms that are not directly part of the Torah, secular wisdoms. Sheheim mizuamas hanochosh. They come from the filth of the snake. Kimoishikosuv, as the Pasuk says in the beginning of the Chumash, Vahanochosh hoyo orum mikol chayas hasodeh, that the snake was the wisest, the slyest. So we see that the snake symbolizes chachma, but it's not the chachma digdusha, it's chachma is chitzonius. And his question was, Lekamo me'ebar umoilid. How long is the pregnancy state before it gives birth? Pirish, what he meant to say was, Mehecho nimshach ho'ibur v'haleido shel chochmoiseyim. Where does the pregnancy and birth of those wisdoms come from? How much time does it take and how much effort does it take to produce that wisdom? Omar Lei, Rabbi Shimon Hananya said, L'shivo shnin, 7 years. Ze b'chinas ha-shivo midois, shehem b'chinas shivo shonin. He was referring to the seven attributes, chesed, gevura, teferes, you know, through Malchus, which are referred to as 7 years. Ki yesh b'chinas sheva shonin toivois, shehem b'chinas zayin midois toivois, V'yesh shiva shanim rois, shehem b'chinas sheva poros arois, shehem zayin midos rois. There are 7 good years and 7 bad years, just like in the dream of Paroi, 7 skinny cows, 7 fat cows. There's a concept of these 7 midos of Kedusha, a chesed of Kedusha, a gvura of Kedusha, and so on, and a malchus of Kedusha. And there's a concept of sheva midos rois, there's a chesed of the sitrachra. For example, a person who shows kindness to a criminal, a guy just murdered, you know, 1,000 people, and instead of locking him up, you know, putting him out of commission so he doesn't continue murdering, the person says, how can we do such a thing to a human being? Put him in a cage? Put him in prison? What are we, nuts? What are we, archaic? You know, we have to speak to, you know, that's an example of a chesed, you know, of the sitrachra. Shehem klal kol hataivois umidois. And these 7 attributes are the foundation and the basis for all midos that exist. All attribute, all characteristics, and all aspects of character, and all of our desires. V'heishiv loy Rabbi Shu ben Chananya shekol chochmoseim nimshach rak me'ashiva midos rois. And Rabbi Shu ben Chananya responded to the emperor that all of these wisdoms of the philosophers, of the scientists who are not part of the Kedusha, who are against the Kedusha, their wisdoms come from the Sheva Midois Rois. Shehem Meshukoim Bechola Taivois Vamidois Rois Shekulim Bebechina Shiva Shonim. Because these people are steeped in all kinds of bad desires and bad character that's all included and based on these 7 years, as we mentioned, the 7 midos of the sitrachra, umishom nimshach kol chochmoseim, and that's where all of their wisdom, all of their knowledge comes from. The foundation of it is taivois rois and midos rois. Ki chol chochmoseim heim rak machmas taivois olam hazeh kanal, because as we explained earlier, their pursuit of wisdom, of knowledge, is only for the sake of taivas olam hazeh. They're interested in kovoid and money and base desires, and their pursuit of knowledge is just to be able to get to those things. That's their goal. Their goal isn't a sincere goal. Their goal isn't to serve Hashem. Their goal is not the betterment of mankind, as some of them might try to say, but rather their purpose is self-serving. Simply to serve their own taivas rois and midos rois. V'shu'aloi, so the emperor asked Rabbi Shu ben Chananya, how could you say that? V'hosoveit ve'atuna arbua v'oilid l'tlas. The wise men of Athens mated snakes, and they saw that they gave birth after 3 years of pregnancy. Tlas ze'bechinas gimel rishonos. The number 3 symbolizes the first 3 midos of the sphera, you know, the first 3 spheros, which are Shehem Bechinas Chochma, Bina, and Das. That's what the number 3 represents. Meaning, Rav Nosson Zal explains, Ki ezeh l'uma zeh oso likim ki yodua, because we know that Kedusha and Sitra Achra are always diametrically opposed. They're always equal opposite forces to a degree. V'gam b'hasitra achra yesh b'china zayin yemei abinyin, shein b'china zayin midois, shebohem klulem kol ataivois, v'gimel rishonois, chochma binodas, shein b'chinas chochma v'sechel. Just as in Kedusha, there are the 7 midois of chesed through malchus, which are referred to as the Shiva Yemei HaBinyan, the 7 days of construction, like during which Hashem created the world. And there are three midos, Chachma Bina Das, which represent the Sechel. So too, Lahavdol in Tuma, in the Sitra Achra, there's also a corresponding seven midos and a corresponding three. Vishualoi, and therefore the emperor asked Rabbi Shua, these wise men of Athens tried mating the snake, they experimented, and they saw that a snake is birth after 3 years. Hainu shehem oimrim, shekol chochmoiseim neilodim rak al yidei adas, shekolo misholosh rishonos, lo al yidei taivos amidos rois. These professors, these wise men of the Sitra Achra, they claim that their wisdom is a brain thing. It has nothing to do with how they conduct themselves physically. In other words, physically, they can be degenerates. They can conduct themselves, they can follow all the base desires of their hearts and do the most disgusting things imaginable. And it has nothing to do with their brain power. It has nothing to do with their ability to analyze and to understand and to hypothesize and to experiment and to draw their own conclusions. They claim that their knowledge is based on analysis, you know. So Rabbi Shua ben Hananya responded, these snakes were already pregnant 4 years before they started testing them. Hainu shebeemes, kishechokrim uboim al chachmosom, nidme shehumachmas chiyuv hasechel. Meaning the truth is, when these people start doing their analysis and everything, it seems to them as if to that's where it all starts. Aval hakoil nimshach machmas hataivois umidois rois, shehem meleim umeuborim ehem mikoidim. However, the reality is that their analysis powers are all affected in a major way and guided by their taivos rois and midos rois, which they are pregnant with from before, which they're full of from before. V'ta'avosom u'midosem horois misavavim b'daitom u'mevim oisom l'chochmas koelu. And it's their taivos and midos rois that circle around in their minds, all of their bad thoughts and bad motivations and everything. That's what goes through their minds and hearts, and that's what guides the conclusions that they draw in an analytical way. In other words, when they come up with scientific thoughts and mathematical thoughts, all of their, everything that they produce in Chachmois is affected in a major way and is a byproduct of their Taivos Rois and Midos Rois. V'zehu b'chinas dalet shnin, and this is why it's referred to as 4 years, that these snakes were already pregnant 4 years before. Kikol hataivos umidos nimshochim hadalet yesoidos ki yodua umuva besforin, because it's known that all of a person's character and all of a person's desires are shaped and guided by the four basic elements of creation, the four basic elements that exist inside of a person, which are water, fire, air, and dust. And those four yesodos, those four basic elements of creation, the balance of them inside of a person is what directs the person's character and everything about the person. Shekol hamidos v'hataivos klulim b'shiva midos, whereby all aspects of character and desires are all summarized by seven basic characters, you know, from chesed through malchus. V'kulam nimshochim midalad yesoidos. However, all of them draw from the four basic elements, shesharosham migdusho helyoino heim dalad oiseis Hashem, whose foundation, those four basic elements, eish, ruach, mayim, ofor, draw their energy back from the four letters of Hashem's name, yud, kei, vav, kei. Avolheim noflu al yidei taivoseim, however, these chachmim of the Sitra Achra as a result of their Taivis Rois, they've fallen into the bad side of these four basic elements. Because they're drawing from a bad type of fire, from a bad type of dust, from a bad type of air. Umishom nimshachim kol chachmasim v'sichlam. That's where their knowledge and wisdom is coming from. V'zehu, and this is why Rabbi Yeshua said, Hanhu meuboran havameikora dalet shnin. These were already pregnant from before 4 years. Shehim b'chinas hadalet yisoidois shebohem klulim kol ha'taivos. He was referring to the four basic elements which affect the desires of a person. For example, a person has a desire for good, or a passion for good, or a passion for the wrong things. That passion comes from the Yisoid Ho'esh. And the Yisoid Ho'esh could swing either way. I'll just deviate for a moment. Rav Nosson Zal says in Likutei Halachos in a different place that this is why in the morning, when we put on a talis, when we put on our tzitzis, the tzitzis have four corners to them. The garment has four corners to it, corresponding to the four yisoidos. In each corner, you have four strings, which are doubled over to make eight strings. In other words, those that have made tzitzis themselves know that you start off with four long strings, you fold them over to make eight, and then you spin around, you make the rings and the knots and everything. So within each corner you have four strings. The Shulchan Aruch says that before the person actually wraps himself in the talis, he's supposed to put the talis over his shoulder while he's saying the Lashem Yichud. And during that period of time, he's supposed to separate the tzitzis. You know, it's pull the knot tight a little bit, pull the knot apart, because the knot usually becomes loose after a couple of days. So pull it tight, separate the four on one side and four on the other side, the four strings on one side, four strings, pull them apart like. Rav Nosson Zal says on the Likutei Halachos that when a Jew does that in the morning, what he's supposed to have in mind is that everything within his character, within his psyche, is going to be shaped by the Dalet Yesoidos that are inside of him. And when he's pulling them apart now, he's showing that he realizes that there's toiv vora in these dalad yisoides. There's a fire of kedusha, and there's a fire of the sitra achra. And therefore, in separating them, he's showing that he wants to separate the good from the bad. He realizes that inside of him there are these four basic elements, and there's good and bad to them, and he's trying to sort out, separate the good from the bad. That's what I'm going to be doing all day in everything I do. I'm going to be trying to search and see and understand what's bad and what's good, and separate the good from the bad so that I can eliminate the bad or correct the bad and hold on to the good. Back inside. So now Rav Nosson Zal says, Umachmas Shehem Malayim Mehem Mikoidim, and because of the fact that these thinkers are full of all of these bad desires and bad characteristics from before, that's what causes all of these wisdoms to roll around their minds. That's what gets them thinking about all the different things they're thinking about. Ki hamachshavos v'hachochma sheba'odom hu kifi hamidos shoyches bohem kemuvan bedvorov zal. Because Rav Nosson Zal says that Rabbeinu Zal teaches us in Likutei Moran at the end of chapter 29 that the thoughts that flow through a person's mind are direct result of the person's character, what the person's desires are, what the person's motivations are, what he's looking for. That's what determines what kind of thoughts go through his mind. So now Rav Nosson Zal says, the emperor said, V'homesham shishimushi. What are you talking about? We see that the snakes are mating. Right before these scientists started mating them, they saw that they were still mating. And generally, we know that by animals, when they're in a pregnant state, they won't accept a mate. So the fact that they observed that these snakes were mating right before they conducted their experience, that would seem to prove conclusively that they were not pregnant at the time. Now Rav Nosson Zal interprets this. Sheshualoi soy, the emperor asked Rabbi Shua, V'haloi heim misyagin u'meshamshim chachomeim bebote knesioi soroim shalohem. We find that these students of secular wisdoms, they also serve their rabbis, in quotes, their teachers. Ki shimush talmidei chachomim digdusho heim bechinas ha'halochos. Because we know that serving a Talmud Chacham who's on the side of Kiddusha, serving him is the concept of learning halacha lamaisa. There is no way in the world that a person learns more clearly how to live properly, you know, what the halacha is and what the proper direction to take and to learn how to understand things correctly than serving chachamim, serving rabbis, being with them, living with them, watching them closely. When a person serves them, he gets to see them up close and he gets to see what they do, what they don't do, how they speak, how they handle different situations. So he said, just like in Kiddusha, Shimush Talmid Chacham is the concept of halachos, Kemoshepirish Rashi Bekama Makoimois, as Rashi HaKodesh in many places in the Torah points out, Shemachma Sheikar Halachos Mekablam Alidei Shimush Talmid Chachamim, because of the fact that the Ikar Halacha, the Ikar awareness of knowing what to do in Yiddishkeit, in terms of technical halacha, and in terms of direction in life, advice, correct advice, how to live properly as a Jew, comes from serving Talmidei Chachamim. But we know that on the other side of the fence, by the Sitra Achra, you have a similar situation. We find on the other side, they also serve their rabbis, in quotes, their teachers. You have these, you know, in every field, you know, when they're going through internship and they're the professor, they're serving the professor and being taught, or an apprentice in different fields, where again, he's serving a person who's more experienced than him, with the hope that by serving him, he's picking up the wisdom, you know, up close. Ve'heshivuloi inhu nami meshamshi ko'odam. So Rabbi Shua ben Hananya said to the emperor, you're right. They also, the snakes, mate, even when they're pregnant, just like human beings. That was the pshat. Rav Nosson Zal interprets this in his sense, Sheho emes sukein. You're right. It's true. Sheheim mishamshim chachomeim. That within the Sitra Achra framework, their students also serve their masters. Aval hurak kekoif bivnei odom. However, it's not real. It's aping. They're aping. They're mimicking, lahavdil, the type of serving that a Talmud of Kiddusha does for his Rebbe. In other words, the service that Yehoshua gave Moshe Rabbeinu, where he served him hand and foot, you know, and he stuck with him. And lahavdil, when we look in the Sitra Achra and we see students serving their teachers, It's not the identical item. Lahavdil, it's like an ape mimicking a human being. Ki ikar ha'odom heim Yisrael, shekriyim odom, she'oiskim b'chochmas ha'toyroh, shenikras odom. Because the true odom is the religious Jews, those Jews who are oisik in chochmas ha'toyroh, which is called odom. Kimoy shekosuv, as the pasuk says, zois ha'toyroh, Odom ki yomus boihel. And the Gemara learns that Zois ha-Toyra Odom, that a person who's attached to the Torah properly, that's a person who's classified as Odom. V'ho'iskim b'chochmas chitzonios mizdamin atzmon kekoif b'fnei Odom. Whereas those people who go to these other schools and they're learning these other wisdoms, if we see any resemblance between them and what goes on in the yeshivas, it's the type of resemblance of an ape to a human being. Umeshamshim gamkein chachomeim. They also have a concept of shimush chachomim. Avul yesh hefresh vehevdil beinom leveinenu. However, there's a major difference between them and us. Ki onu meshamshin chachomeinu b'shvil hatachlis. Because we serve our rabbis for the sake of the ultimate purpose, which is to come close to Hashem, to become better people, to serve Hashem better. V'heim mishamshim chachomeim, whereas when they serve their teachers, upnimius kavanosam b'shvil taivas olam hazeh, their real intent is simply to achieve their goals, to have four cars, a $12 million home, a lot of women, best restaurants, respect, have my name in lights, to get a lot of publicity, knows all the taivos of olam hazeh. Kedei sheyir loy momoin, so that he should have a lot of money. Sheyakabel al yedei sheyaharoig alofim nefoshos berufois of shel sheker, which he'll get from murdering thousands of people with his false medications. Kimavur b'mokom achar, as is written in another place, lehisrachek mehadoktorin, where Rabbeinu Zal emphasized distancing oneself from doctors, ki heim roitzchem nefoshos berufoisein, because they murder people with their medicines. This is one of the places where Rabbeinu Zal is touching on this delicate topic, that in those days especially, and even today, people who enter the medical field, it's a very delicate item, very delicate. And unfortunately, we hear many stories, some of which are obviously true, of cases of people being murdered by doctors or by hospitals. Person goes into a checks into a hospital with a certain kind of ailment and gets killed. They gave him the wrong type of medicine. They gave him the wrong type of treatment, where a minor ailment turned into a life-threatening or a life-ending situation, Rahmanul Islam. And here again, Rav Nosson Zal is taking a swipe at that topic. So now, the Gemara says over there, the Roman Emperor said to Rabbi Shua, what are you talking about? We see that these guys are real bright guys. They're very smart. So Rabbi Shua responded, Anan Chakimin Minayu, we, the Chachomim of Kedusha, we're smarter than them. Zehu Kipshutoi. Rav Nosson Zal says, this give and take, I interpret exactly the way it's presented. Sheshualuoi soi, Rabbi Shua ben Hanani was asked, V'haloyanu royim, she'afal pikein heim chachomim. No matter what you want to tell me, we see that these guys are bright guys. They have high IQs, they've amassed lots of knowledge, and they have a deep understanding of many items. Sheboim al chochmois gedoilois. We see that some of these people come to very high levels of wisdom and knowledge. Lasos kelim nifloim. They invent wondrous items, microscopes and laser beams and all kinds of super high-level machinery and computers and things that are very advanced. Ukiyotze. Heishiv loy kipshutois. Rabbi Yeshua responded to the emperor, Anan chakimin minayhu. We, the chachamim of Kedusha, are smarter than them. Ki chol chachmosam hu be'iskei olam hazeh v'kanal. Because all of their knowledge is within the framework of the physical world. Avol kol chachmosenu hu b'shvil hatachlis o'achroin levad. Whereas our knowledge, the knowledge of chachma d'kedusha, is all for the sake of the future world, for the sake of eternity. And therefore, we are definitely smarter than them. And now Rav Nosson Zal explains. Ube'emes, the truth is, Elu hatzadikim hagdolim, sheyogu v'torchu harbe be'emes b'shvil atachlis, the great tzadikim who struggled and worked very, very hard to become tzadikim, to advance themselves, to get to very high levels of kedusha, and they rose to levels where they were able to detach themselves completely from all the foolishness of this world, from the taivas rois and midos rois of this world. They elevated themselves to such a high level of purity and closeness to Hashem, where they were completely, where the foolishness and the bad things of this world were not able to affect them in any way. They cleansed themselves completely from that. Zochu acharkach lahasig gam chochmosom alburia. These chachomim were zoche, after they amassed all of their Torah knowledge, they were zoche to get to understand, to know the secular wisdoms completely well. Kemoi shereinu bekamot tzadikim, as we saw by several tzaddikim, by many tzaddikim, shehayu bekim bekol ashiva chachmois yoiser mehem harbe, that they were knowledgeable in the seven secular wisdoms more so than the secularists themselves. They knew more about music, they knew more about mathematics than the professors of mathematics. Rak anoshim pshutim osur lehem lasoit bohem. However, we know that we've been taught that regular people are not supposed to study these secular, most of the secular wisdoms, ki yesh bohem avnei negev, because there are stumbling blocks in them. And therefore, regular simple-minded people who get involved, who study too deeply the secular wisdoms, usually it ends up leading them away from religion, away from Hashem. V'gam afilu elu hu anoshim pshutim, heim chachomim yoiser mehem, me'achar shem hoilchem bedarchi ha-toyra kdoisha. And Rav Nosson Zal says here, and even the simple Jews, those who are not very advanced in knowledge, they are smarter than these secular wisdom guys because of the fact that they observe the Torah and mitzvahs. And that makes them better people and more advanced mentally than people who seem to be more advanced mentally. That gives them the ability to pass over and to rise above all these secular wisdoms. A Jew who lives by the Torah, b'pshitas u'tmimus, he's in many ways above the most knowledgeable intellectual. Avol hatzadikim hakdoshim hagdoilim b'mayla, whereas the great tzadikim who really achieve high levels of holiness, bekim gam b'chol hachochmois yoser mehem harbe, they are much more knowledgeable in these wisdoms than the secularists, than the people that study only that. So now the emperor said to him, ich hakimas, if you're so smart, zil zochinu, I dare you to go challenge them. Go, let's see if you could defeat them in a debate. Omar lei, so Rabbi Yeshua asked him, kama havu, how many are there? How many of them are there? So the emperor said to him, shitin gavri, there are 60 of them. Omar lei, so Rabbi Yeshua said, ovid li svinta, I want you to prepare for me a ship that has 60 cabins, remember? And each cabin should have in it 60 chairs. Hainu sheheshev loy Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya responded, shelenatzeach oysam hachachomim hachitzonim, in order to defeat these secularists, tzrichim lachgur mosnov moid, one has to gird his loins very seriously. A person has to be very, very powerful and very ready to take them on in battle. Utzrichim liois gibor godoil betoira utfila umaisim toivim. A person has to be very strong in Torah, in tfila, in good deeds. And then it's possible for him to defeat them. And this is why Rabbi Yeshua said to the emperor, Ovid li svinta, I want you, make for me a ship. Hainu ha-toyro shenekra svina. The Torah is referred to many times in Medroshim, in the Gemara, as a ship. Bechinas, as the Pasuk says in Mishlei, hoiso ko'onios soichar. She was like a merchant ship, and that's referring to the Torah, which we say in Eishes Chayil. Ki ho'ilam hazeh hu yam soyer v'zoyev kemuva b'chol asforim. Because this world that we live in is compared to a very turbulent ocean. V'chasher yochel kol adam lohavim ben afshoy manas imoy bo zo'ilam. As each and every one of us can understand what we go through in life. How our existence in this world could be compared to being, you know, finding ourselves in the most tumultuous, turbulent ocean. Ve'ech metzulois hayam soyer olav b'chol yoyim. How the person finds himself, you know, confronted with the, you know, the depths of the sea, you know, the tidal waves of the sea every day. Ve'lavor zeho ilam shubchinas yam soyer tzrichim ozeh sfino chazok amoid. And in order for a person to get through this stormy ocean that a person has to get through on a daily basis, he needs a very solid ship. Shehu bechinas ha-Toyra k'doysha, which is the Torah. She'ein zoichim lokim al-yidei ha-chachamim ha-kdoyshim, she'ein yoidim lidroi shalofarish lanos ha-Torah, which it's impossible for a person to be zoiche to a real success in Torah without coming close to the chachamim ha-kdoyshim, without being zoiche to come close to the true tzaddikim, who have the ability to explain the Torah correctly and to expound on it properly. Va'alehem ne'mar, and it's about them that the pasuk says, Yordei hayom bo'onios, those sailors, those captains who go down to the ocean in their ships, shehu atoyra kanal, oisei malocha b'mayim rabim, those who are qualified to do their work in the great waters. Sheheim oisim malocha gedoylo v'niflo b'mayim rabim, b'mayim hashoitzim shel ze oylam. These are the rabbis, the tzaddikim, who perform their missions in these tumultuous waters, you know, of this world. They are the ones who are zeichet to see Hashem, to see the wonders of Hashem, the actions of Hashem, in the depths, even in the depths of the sea. In other words, even within this physical world, they're zeichet to get to see Hashem properly. It's only they, only the Chachamim Dikdusha, the Tzadikim, who are zeichet to see Hashem and see the wonders of Hashem in this world, how it relates to each and every one of us. How the waves of the sea attack each and every single Jew throughout his life, you know, how a person is riding the waves. And it's only these great chachamim of Kiddusha, the tzaddikim, who know how to rescue a person, those people who come close to them, from the depths of the sea. By bringing the people that come close to them into their ships, into their holy ships, the hachazokos, which are their powerful ships, shehem hatoyrois hanefloys shemegalen lanu. These ships represent the great, awesome Torah that these tzaddikim reveal to us. They're like ships that protect us. It's interesting that the Zohar HaKadosh and many other Meforshim, when they speak about Noah's Ark, the Teva of Noach, they say that one of the reasons why it's called a Teva, Teva means an ark, and Teva means a word. And they say that the words of Torah, of a person, and the words of Tefillah, they are that person's ark. They are what a person, they're the protective ship that the person can go inside of and be protected from the flooding waters of this world. That when a person puts himself inside his tefillah and inside his Torah, when Imamish puts himself all the way in, he goes all the way inside the Torah, and he envelops himself in the Torah, and he envelops himself in his tefillah, meaning his relationship with his tefillah is not a casual relationship. Oh, let's shake hands, let's blow a kiss at each other. His relationship with his tefillah is mamish that he's swimming in it, meaning he puts all of himself into his tefillah from head to toe. That's the concept of Noach going into the ark, and that ark, that teva, being a protective shield from all the waters of the flood. The Baal Shem Tov talks about this also a great deal. V'zeh b'chinas svinto shel shitin bati, and this is why he spoke of a ship of 60 cabins. Zeh b'chinas shishim mesechtois shel ashas. This refers to the 60 Gemaras of Shas, Shehem Klal Torah Shebal Peh, which are a composite of the entire Torah Shebal Peh, Shezeo Bechinas Emunas Chachamim, which represents our kesher with our rabbis. The whole concept of Emunas Chachamim is the connection to Torah Shebal Peh. V'chol beiso shodi beishitin bisterkin, and he told him, but make sure that in each cabin there are 60 chairs. Pirush Rashi. Rashi says over there, kisois, that the word bistirki in Aramaic means kise in Hebrew. Ze bechinas tfila. These chairs represent tfila. Shehi bechinas malchus David. Kenoida. Tefillah is represented by the kingdom of David HaMelech, as is known in Sifrei Kabbalah. Bechinas Kisei Malchus. A throne is usually associated with kingdom. And we know that there's a pasuk in Tehillim where David HaMelech says, Va'ani Tefillah. I am Tefillah. So that David HaMelech symbolizes Tefillah. V'alkein David she'osak kol yomav b'tfilo harbe ad she'zocha l'chaber sefer tehillim shu klal zemiro yisu tfilo yisroel. And it's for this reason that David HaMelech, who was involved throughout his life with in a tremendous amount of tefillah, to the point where he was zocha to compose the book of Tehillim, which is a composite of all the tefillos of all of klal Yisroel, Alkein Zoho Lekise Malchus Fonetzach. Therefore, he is the one who sits on the eternal throne. Vezeo Bechinas Shitin Bistirkin. This is the concept of the 60 chairs. Ki Hatfila Klula Mishishin. Because we know that Tfila is a composite of 60, is composed of 60. Bechinas Shishin Hema Molochis. There's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim which says, 60, they are kings. So we see that Malchus, which is a nickname for Tefillah, is represented by the number 60. We know, for example, that the Parsha of Birchas Koyanim, where the Koyanim bless the Jewish people, they present their Tefillah to Hashem on the part of the Jewish people, is composed of exactly 60 letters. If you'll count the letters in Birchas Koyanim, it's exactly 60 letters. V'daiko, and Rabbeinu Zal refers to this in Likutei Moran in several places. V'daiko alidei ze machnien hachachomim da sitrachra, shehem gamkein b'china shishim. And it's through this combination of Torah and Tefillah, the 60 Gemaros, and Tefillah, which is also 60, that's what helps a person to defeat the chachomim of the sitrachra, who are also a concept of 60. K'moy shekosev shom, as it says over there, Kamahavu, how many wise men of Athens were there? Shitin Gavri, 60 of them. Ki yoinkim mebechinas shishim hema malochis, because we know that the Sitrachra draws from the Malchus. This is a known rule in Kabbalah, that Malchus, because it's the lowest one of the spheroids, it's the closest one, it's the ground floor-like, therefore, the termites and all the other things that come up from the basement, they attack the ground floor apartments. You know, that's where they go first. So the Malchus is the sphere which is most susceptible and most vulnerable to the klipos. The Zohar Kodesh brings the pasuk, Ragleho Yordos Moves. The feet of Kedusha, they are the ones which go down into the Sitrachra. That's why it's so important for a Jew to always wear shoes, slippers, a covering for their feet, because the feet are the lower part of the feet are the Malchus, from which the Sitrachra draws from. Because Rav Nosson Zal says, this posuk, Shishim Hema Malochis, in its simple taich, in its simple translation, is referring to the Sitrachra. K'moy shepirish Rashi shon, as Rashi says over there, sheze nimar al bnei Esav ubnei hapilagshim shel Avraham, that the number 60 refers to the descendants of Avraham Avinu besides Yitzchak. In other words, the non-religious, the non-tzadikim ones, the other side, the Sitrachra, whereby there were 60 descendants that came from Avraham Avinu, as Rashi points out someplace in Chumash. Shehem b'mispar shishim, there were 60 of them. Umehem nivchar achas, and from among them there is one that was selected. He yoinosi tamosi, which is that beautiful white dove, Shehem Yisroel, which is what the Jewish nation is compared to. V'alkein tzrichin shetia hatfila klula mishishim, and that's why a person's tefillah also has to be composed of 60. Which is the concept of Malchus Shebigdusha, the Holy Malchus, Shehem Klal HaMalchus Degdusha, Lahachnia Malchus Esav. 60, there's a 60 of Kedusha, which is an equal opposite force to the 60 of Esav. Shehem Bechinas Shishim Malchus de Sitrachra. Vizeh Bechinas Shishim Giboirim. This is a concept of the pasuk that we have that speaks about Shishim Giboirim, where it says,
Hine mitosoi shelishloimoi shishim giboirim sovivlo migiboire Israel. That the bed of Shlomo HaMelech was surrounded by 60 powerful men among the giboirim of Klal Yisrael, kulam achuzei cherev, all of them holding their swords. Upirish Rashi, and Rashi says over there, ish charboi al yarechoi, all of them have their swords girded to their loins. She'oisim simonim batoira, meaning these are the ones who carve out markings in the Torah. This refers to Talmidei Chachamim. Hainu b'chinas klal ha-chachamim shebetorah. This refers to the great rabbis, klal Torah shebal peh, who are the concept of Torah shebal peh. V'alkein tzrichin sheti asmina klula mishitim bati, and this is why this ship had to have 60 cabins, sheheim shishim esechtois, kanal, corresponding to the 60 gemaras that make up the Torah shebal peh. Ubechol bati shishim bistirki, and each cabin had to have 60 chairs in it. Hainu kisois bechinas tefila, the concept of tefila. Hainu sheyie kol halocha v'halocha shel atoira klula mishishim kisois. This means that every piece of Torah that a person learns has to have these 60 chairs, which is represented by the cabins, has to have 60 chairs in it, meaning Shehem Bechinas Klal HaTfila. It's got to be enveloped in Tfila. Every single piece of Torah that a person learns, he must combine it with Tfila. Hainu Shal Kol Halocha V'Halocha Shel HaTorah Yishpoich Sichoy Lefnei Hashem Yizborach V'Yarbe B'Chol HaTfilois Ad Sheyizke L'Kaimo. Every single halacha that a person learns, every single item in Torah that a person learns, he should beg Hashem in his tefillah, in his hespedidus, that Hashem should help him be zeicha to understand it properly, and Hashem should help him be zeicha to fulfill it properly. Just as we find in the Gemara in Brachas, the Gemara shows us clearly there that when the rabbis used to sit down to learn, every single time they would sit down to learn, they would say a tefillah before their learning and a tefillah after their learning. This is written clearly in the Gemara. So Rav Nosson Zal is showing us the Breslev Derech here, which is not bread. This is from the Gemara. That each and every single Jew who learns Gemara, who learns Torah, must attach every piece of Torah he learns to tefillah. He must talk to Hashem about every piece of Torah he learns and beg Hashem to guide him to understand it correctly and to be zecha to fulfill it properly. As Rabbi Nachman taught us and warned us to convert all of our Torah into tefillah. And a person who is privileged to do this, and he has that type of ship. His ship is Torah Shebal Peh plus Tefillah. He's qualified to gird his loins and to take on these Chachamim of the Sitra Achra, these wise men of Athens, to debate with them, and to be victorious against them, to win. And this is why Rabbi Yishuv ben Chananya said to the emperor, Ovidli, I want you to prepare for me this ship. Rav Nosson Zal, again, he's asking the Roman emperor to prepare something for a Jew, like to help out the Jew. Rav Nosson Zal explains now, Ki noida, because it's known, Sheho Odom kifi masov kein zoiche lenatzeach hasitra achra, that a Jew, based on his deeds, can be successful in overcoming, in winning, defeating the Sitra Achra. The Oz, and if he wins, if a Jew strengthens himself and does battle against his Yetzirah and wins, Heim Daika Misayin Livnois Binyan Hakdusha, then the Yetzirah itself becomes his servant, becomes his assistant, to help him build in Kiddusha. Shezehu bechinas bechol levavcha. This is what's meant when we say in Kriya Shema that a person should serve Hashem with his entire heart. And the Gemara says it should have said bechol libcha. What is levavcha?
So the Gemara says this means b'shnei yitzarecha, to serve Hashem with your yetzer tov and your yetzer hara. So the Gemara asks, what are you talking about? How do I serve Hashem with my yetzer hara? And the explanation is that the great tzaddikim who are zecha to overcome their yetzer hara, they defeat their yetzer hara. The yetzer hara becomes subservient to them and falls into line and becomes one of their workers. And so too in the opposite sense, if a person loses the battle to his Yetzihara, then the opposite is what takes place. The person becomes subservient to the Yetzihara, and any mitzvahs, any good deeds that the person does, unfortunately from that point, become part of the Sitra Achra's bank account. V'yalkein Omar Rabbi Yishuv ben Hananya la Kesar, and therefore Rabbi Yishuv ben Hananya said to the emperor, Shehu Bechinas Malchus Horesho, who was a representative of the Malchus of the Sitra Achra, the other side, he said to him, Avoid li, I want you to build this ship for me. Ki ato bi'atzmecho tzorich la'asis li sfina kazois, you yourself have to be the one to prepare this ship for me. And we see that's exactly what happened. As the Gemara relates, Ovidle, that the Roman emperor went ahead and built this ship for Rabbi Yishuv ben Hananya to use to defeat these wise men of Athens. Because this rabbi was a tremendous, awesome tzaddik. And his success with his Torah and good deeds was to such an extent to the point where the Malchus of the Rishoim had to work for him, was obligated to help him out, to help prepare this ship for him. Sheklula mishishim bati. We said that this ship contains 60 cabins, Shehim klal ha-Torah, which represents the entire Torah Shebal Peh, which is made up of 60 Gemaras. Ubechol bati shishim bistirkin, and each cabin had to have 60 chairs in it. Shehim klal ha-Tfilah, which we mentioned in the previous year, that represents Tfilah. Tefillah is called Malchus, and it's also the number 60, Shishim Heima Malochis, as we learned earlier. Sheshofach Lifnei Hashem Yizborach Al Kol Torah V'Torah Sheyizke L'Kaima. This refers to the fact that Rabbi Shuman Chananya was a type of tzaddik, where every single Gemara that he learned, he poured out his heart to Hashem, begging Hashem to help him b'zeichad understand it properly and to fulfill it properly, so that each cabin, each unit of Torah had a corresponding unit of tefillah to match it, the 60 chairs to match it. Kimotu lohosom, now, when he arrived over there in Athens, ol lebeit habcha, the first place he went to was the butcher. He went to the butcher shop. Rav Nosson Zal explains, beit habcha zebechinas hasitra achra v'hasamach mem v'chay loisov. The butcher is symbolic of the Sitra Achra, the Sotan and his armies. She'oiskim litboyach v'lishchoit b'nei Adam. Their job is to slaughter Jews, to shecht Yidden. Al yidei she'oiskim lahachnes machshovos roes b'bnei Adam, by injecting bad thoughts into their minds. Shal yodom ikar hazvicha v'hashchita, which is the main manner in which the Yetzer Hara slaughters a Jew. Shehem zoivchim v'shoichtim oisam, bebchinas zoivchei odom, whereby they slaughter people, as the Pasuk says, they kill human beings. Shezeo bechinas sar hatabochim shel Mitzrayim, shenimkar Yosef Elov. And this is also why we find, interestingly, that when Yosef HaTzadik was sold as a slave to Egypt, the first place he arrived in was the Sar HaTabochem, the person who was in charge of the meat department for Paroi, the butcher. Kima shesikein esatzmoi hatzadik Rabbi Yishuv ben Hananya leireid lamokam ha-sitra achra. The fact that Rabbi Yishuv ben Hananya was willing to put himself in jeopardy to go down to the place of the sitra achra, shemishom yenikas chochmoy sachitzoinius, which is the source from which all of these secular wisdoms draw from. She'oiskim bohem chachme yovon, which the Greek philosophers were involved in. Shehem bechinas hasitrachra, they represent the other side, the side that opposes the kedusha, the holiness. Ze bechinas achas imashe yorad yosef hatzadik lemitzrayim. Rabbi Shua ben Hananya's mission was parallel to Yosef HaTzadik's mission in going down to Egypt. Because Egypt was also full of idols and secular wisdoms. As is known that in those times, during the time of Yaakov Avinu and Yosef HaTzadik, the center for secular wisdoms was not Greece at the time, it was Egypt. Egypt at that time was the economic, financial center of the world, and it was also the center of secular wisdoms, as is written, as is documented in history books. She'ikar chochmois chitzoinis hoisa tchila b'mitzrayim, that it started out in Egypt, v'acharkach kiblu mehem chachme yovon, and the Greek philosophers received their wisdom from the Egyptians. In other words, it was passed down from Egypt to Greece. Shehem hasove deveatuna, which was this wise council of Athens. Ubishvil ze huchrach Yosef HaTzadik leireid lemitzrayim, and this is one of the reasons why Yosef HaTzadik had to go down to Egypt. Ve'oz nimkar tchilo lesarat habochim, and the first place he landed in was the butcher, Shehu Toikif Hasitrach Rashal Mitzrayim, who symbolizes the essence of Tuma of Egypt, because the Gemara says at the end of Kiddushin that butchers are usually not quality type people in many respects. We're not talking about all, we're talking about a certain standard, unfortunately. Shemishom hazvicha v'hashchito shel kol hakruchim achreim chas v'shalom. That's the source of the slaughter of all of those who follow the way of the Sitrach, or all of those who fall into these secular wisdoms and the study of philosophy, etc., and get slaughtered spiritually in the process. V'zehu bi'atzmoi b'chinas Rabbi Shua ben Hananya shehoyred es atzmoi l'chachme yovon she'im ha-sitrachra. And this parallels Rabbi Shua ben Hananya's going down to Athens to engage these wise men of Athens in a debate, who were also representatives of the Sitrachra. She'ol lebeit tapcho, that the first place he went to was the butcher. Shehu b'chinas ha-samach mem, that's the concept of the Yetzahara himself. V'hasovei deveyatuna, she'oiskin, and the sovei deveyatuna, she'oiskin litboyach, they are involved, their businesses slaughter. Al yedei hamachshavos rois shemachnis mebnei adam, through the bad thoughts that they inject into a person's mind. Meaning this refers to the angel, the Yetzirah, who always tries to bombard a person with bad thoughts, whether it's sinful thoughts, actual sinful thoughts, or the fact that when the person is involved in davening or learning, he's trying to do a mitzvah, and he gets bombarded with thoughts which block his concentration, and they block his effectiveness in tefillah. Because, for example, we know the Gemara says that a tefillah without kavana is like a body without a neshama. So if the Yetzirah, while a person's davening Shmon Esrei, or saying Shema during any tefillah, if the Yetzirah bombards the person with external thoughts, by doing that he pulls the plug on the person's tefillah. He makes the person's tefillah much, much less effective than if the person were able to concentrate completely on what he was saying. So he's referring to here to both aspects of machshavos rois. Number one, the actual bad thoughts, sinful thoughts that the Yetzirah injects into a person's mind throughout the day. And in addition, he's talking to, in general, any kinds of machshavos zorois, external thoughts that are not related to tefillah, that bombard a person while he's trying to daven. Ki ikar hashchito shel hodom chas v'sholom, hu al yidei hamachshavos rois, kishein shomer v'satzma mehem koroi, rachmon al-slan. Here, Rav Nosson Zalman makes an incredible statement, because the main slaughter of a Jew, The main thing that brings a Jew down, that can destroy a Jew, get a Jew murdered by the Yetzer Hara, is these bad thoughts. If a Jew doesn't watch himself from not allowing his mind, chas v'shalom, to dwell on any of these bad thoughts, that if the Yetzer Hara throws a sinful thought into a person's mind, for the person to immediately disengage from it. And we'll see soon how Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain how one does that successfully. But Rav Nosson Zal is establishing here a very serious issue, that people who think that I only said something, or what do you mean, a thought? A thought is a serious item? The Gemara says, Koshe hirhure aveira meaveira, that when it comes to thoughts of pegama bris, when it comes to thoughts about women, illicit type of thoughts related to women, those types of things, that the thought can be worse than the action even. The thought is a hook. Just like when you want to catch a fish. Once the fish is hooked, he could be 600 pounds, he could be 6,000 pounds. You got him. So too, if a Jew allows the Sitra Achra to get its hook into the person, if the person gets hooked on thought, on a bad thought, the person has no idea how quickly the Yetzer Hara can reel him in and bring him from thought to thought to thought, and chas v'shalom inevitably cause it to lead to bad actions. V'zehu ashkechei lahu gavra dekovit chiyusa. So now the Gemara says there that Rabbi Yishu ben Hanani... The question was just raised, these thoughts, are they bad in and of themselves? Or is it simply because they lead to more things? The answer is, we know that when a child is born, when a human being is born, in order for a child to be born, there's seed that has to be generated. That seed originates from the brain. The Zohar HaKadosh speaks about it and explains and shows exactly how it happens. Therefore, the thoughts that a person has, number one, especially when a person is with a person is involved in a person's with their wife, the thoughts that a person has at that time, the Shulchan Aruch speaks about this, the Halacha speaks about it, and especially Sifrei Kabbalah, that depending on what the person is thinking at the time, that's going to affect the quality of the neshama that they're privileged to bring into the world, into a child that's going to be conceived and born from them. There we're talking about the exact moment, let's say, of a husband and wife being together. But obviously, this is also throughout the day, that the thoughts that a person thinks, if a person, chas v'shalom, allows their mind to dwell on any bad thoughts, the brain becomes defective, spiritually. And as a result, any seed that comes from a defective brain is, Rachman al-Tan, is defective seed. And this is why the Gemara says, if a person looks where they're not supposed to, chas v'shalom, the Gemara says, then the children that are born from them will be blind, chas v'shalom. The Gemara gives a whole list of things like that, showing that the thoughts of a person, let's say, for example, when the eye looks at something and the brain photographs it, the eye brings that picture into the mind, that affects the children that are going to be born from that person. And again, it also affects the mind's ability to interpret things correctly. We know that the Torah can be interpreted correctly or incorrectly. A person's ability to see the emes of the Torah, to see the truth of the Torah, and to interpret Yiddishkeit correctly, is dependent on the purity of the mind. And these thoughts have a major, major role in affecting that. So now Rav Nosson Zal says, V'zehu ashkechei lahu gavra dekovit chiyusa. He found a butcher, you know, who was processing meat. Hainu shemotzo lo'oysoi ho'ish, shehu ha'mesis hu ha'mediach. Meaning, he found the Yetzer Hara, who is the one who seduces the person, and then he's the one who pushes him further and leads him to the slaughter. Dekovit chiyusa, She'oisek lasois chayois rois. He saw that the Yetzirah, the word chiyusa means chayois, animals. He saw that he was processing animals, but Rav Nosson Zal says that the term chayois rois, wild animals, is a term that's also used by Rabbi Nachman in a chapter on the Likutei Moran to represent bad thoughts. Shehim bechinas machshavois rois. This represents bad thoughts. Lahachnisam bibnei adam. That this angel is the one who's involved in trying to inject these bad thoughts into a person's mind. Kemo shekosuv b'mokom acher. As Rabbi Nachman writes in another place, b'simen memtes, in chapter 49, in the first half of Likutei Moran, shehamachshavois rois hem bechinas chayois rois. That bad thoughts are symbolized, are referred to as wild animals. The reason for this, by the way, is we know there's a pasuk in Koheles where it says hachochma techaye ba'oleho, that knowledge gives life to the one that possesses it. So we see that chochma is a concept of chiyus. Chiyus means life. Chayos means animals. It's spelled the exact same way. So Rabbi Nachman writes over there that chochma digdusha, the right type of chochma, is referred to as chayos toivois, pure animals, kosher animals.